I'm happy that you guys chose to be here and to worship with us this morning. I have a couple quick announcements, and then we're going to dive into the sermon today. Excuse me. First of all, VBS is coming up. We're expecting over 300 kids through our door for VBS this year. And in order to pull it off as a great success like it always is year after year, we need your help. So we set up a VBS donation station. If you're out this hallway or out this back door, turn right. You can't miss it. It's a big 4x4 that was driven in the building this morning. Go out there. They have all sorts of donation items that we're seeking. And if you could help out in any way, that would be amazing. Also, June 30th is our next family worship day. It's always a fun time. We get to come here. We get to worship parents and kids together. But we're going to make it just a little bit more fun and exciting. So we are that day asking you parents and kids to dress up as your favorite superhero. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a photo booth and just have some fun with it on that day. One last thing, it wasn't on my list, but I'm going to say it real quick. If you have a student going to CIY this summer with our high school students, looks like I see a lot of parents in here, those students. Guys, we're having a meeting next week at 5 o'clock, right before youth group, just to kind of get some of the CIY details since we have such a large group going. So if you could make that, I would greatly appreciate it. So let's pray, and we will jump into it today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for allowing us, me, everyone here, to come to your church, to worship you, and to get into your scripture, Lord. We pray that as we go through the day and this month that maybe we start to think just a little bit differently about how we're viewed in your eyes, what we can do, what we can accomplish in order to glorify your name, Lord. I thank you so much for everything you do, for the love that you have for us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So about a month or so ago, my wife Kristen and I flew out to Oklahoma. We took a long weekend trip out there. It was a really, really quick trip. We got into Oklahoma, and it was about midnight on Thursday night, and turned around, and we were back here at the church picking up our kids by 12:30 on Sunday. Crazy quick, but it was such a great time because we got out there, and we did absolutely nothing. We went out to visit her best friend and her husband who just had a newborn. So we got out there, and you know if you have kids at all, how great it is to like not have to lift a finger, not have somebody yelling mommy and daddy every 2 seconds, like just to not do anything. It was fantastic. We laid around, we hung out, and we left the house 2 times. It was important. We had to get food, and we had to get ice cream. Came back and continued in our conversation together, hung out and loved on this newborn baby. But throughout the conversation, the topic of movies came up. And it was about this time when the Avengers Endgame was like in its prime. And if you guys know movies at all, or go to movies, or know anything about the superhero movies, like the Endgame was like end all be all of the superhero movies, right? So that came up. But as most of you know, Kristen and I, we have 2 young kids. We have a little boy that's going to be 2 this year, and we have a little girl that's going to be 4. So I started thinking back, like, man, when was the last time I was at a movie? I didn't even know the Endgame was coming out. I had no clue. And I think the last time I was there, Piper's going to turn 4 this year, so it was like the Saturday night before she was born, like 4 years ago. So we get in this conversation about these movies and how the Endgame, Avengers, is like the best thing to ever happen, and it's so great. But Kristen and I are sitting there like, man, we're lost. Like, I have no clue what you're saying and who these people are because we have not seen half of these movies that you're naming off. So what else is there to do when you're lounging around doing nothing than to dig into these movies, right? So we hung out, we talked, we ate food, we ate ice cream, we loved on this baby. And in the matter of 36 hours, we got through 4 Marvel movies. It sounds pretty nerdy to me now, but it was a lot of fun. It was great. But that whole experience, it really got me thinking about this whole superhero kick that we all get on, or that so many people get on when these movies come out. You see, that weekend in these movies gave me this idea that we're going to be talking about this month when we're calling, or what we're calling, no superheroes, just ordinary people. And in this series, we're going to look at several people throughout the Bible. Several people like you and I, just common, everyday people that God uses to do something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Some of the people we're going to talk about this month are people that you probably know about, that you know a lot about, that you read about, that you tell the stories about. other people that we're going to talk about this month are maybe not so known. You read about them, but you tend to like just read right over them and not really put much thought into why are they in Scripture. What's the point there? But nevertheless, we're going to go through it all, and we're going to talk about how God uses people just like you and I to do great, amazing things. And as you know, we always try to have a theme for our sermon every Sunday. So our theme for today that we're going to focus on is this. It's not about who you are, but what you do. It's not about who you are, but what you do. And we're going to talk about this theme today, but I want you to remember that. I want you to think about that, not just today, but for the next several weeks as we go through this whole series. But let's start today by reading a verse out of Acts. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So what's going on? To know what's going on in this passage, let me catch you up to speed. In chapter 3 of Acts, Peter and John, they're on this way to the temple, right? And on the way to the temple, they pass this man who is lame, he's paralyzed, he doesn't walk. And each and every single day, this man's friends carries him to this spot in front of this gate. And he's laid on the ground in front of this gate, and he's laid there to beg for money from people who are passing by and going into the temple. So here come Peter and John, right? And they see this man laying here begging for money, so they stop. And Peter starts talking to this man. He says, you know, I don't have any money, but I have something else. And that's where we're going to pick up in chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who had used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they're filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. So here we see this man walking, or this man going in and celebrating, this man that was just healed by Peter and John when they came on their way to the temple. And he had been celebrating what had just happened. I mean, who wouldn't? He's been carried to this spot. He's been laid here for who knows how long. And here come Peter and John, and they say, walk, go. And that's what happened. So who wouldn't be as crazy and jumping and dancing and as excited as this man? And here's the thing. People that saw this miracle happen, they were amazed, and they wanted to know more. And in this scripture, we see that Peter and John start to talk about Jesus, and it's the power of Jesus that this man is healed. But that wasn't so good according to everybody else, because Peter and John are then arrested. Those two are thrown into jail. But this miracle and the words that were shared, they were so powerful that it says in Scripture in Acts 4:4, but many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So the next day, Peter and John are arrested. The next day afterwards, they're brought out and they're questioned. Peter and John, they spoke really boldly about what had happened. And it was because of the power of Jesus that this man was healed. And then we get back to that verse that we read a few moments ago, Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Unschooled, ordinary. Who were these guys? Why was this so amazing? Why were these guys so important? Well, to get the answer to those questions, we have to look back in Matthew 4, where we read about Peter and John first being called as disciples to Jesus. Matthew 4:18-22. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. See, these men were nothing but fishermen. They're out trying to make a living for themselves and their families. But when they were given the opportunity to follow Jesus, they took it. And it says in Scripture, they left immediately what they were doing, and they went to follow Jesus. They did not wait around to see if like a better offer came up. They didn't stop to think, man, what am I going to be missing out on? They didn't stop to think what they could be getting themselves into. They did not do any of that. They just chose Jesus. These ordinary men, fishermen, chose to do something extraordinary. And that brings us to an excellent point in Scripture. If we, any of us in this room right now, want to be used to do something extraordinary in the name of Jesus, we first must be willing to say yes to Jesus. We must be willing to say yes. We must be willing to take that first step. And not only that, but we must give it our all, everything we have. Revelation 3, 15 and 16 talks about being a lukewarm Christian. Most of us have heard not how you can't be a lukewarm Christian, right? But let me read this for you. "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." We've all heard this. But this verse, it hits on the importance of how it is when you decide to follow Jesus, the importance of you giving it 100%, everything you got, all in. Look again at the verse where Jesus calls these men. They went in and they left everything behind. Their families, their possessions, their livelihoods, their friends, whatever it is, they were all in. They were not lukewarm. They were not wishy-washy. They weren't going back and forth on, "Oh man, I don't really know if that's a good idea." No. They left immediately to follow Jesus. And that's what we are called to do. When Jesus calls us, we must be willing to say yes and give it 100% when it comes to following him. This is what these men did. And this is what made these men, these ordinary, common fishermen, extraordinary men. So much so that Peter, James, and John were known as three of Jesus' closest disciples. So let me ask you a question. Why don't we talk about these three guys and the impact they had on our lives and on our world and everybody around? Why don't we talk about these three guys the way we talk about the Avengers saving the world? Why don't we talk about these three guys and the impact they had the way we talk about the newest, hottest celebrity couple? Or why don't we talk about these three guys and the impact they've had the way we talk about the latest sports stars and who got picked in what draft and where are they going to go play this sport or whatever it is? Why don't we talk about these guys that way and get so excited that way? I'm not into basketball. I don't hardly watch any basketball at all. But do you guys remember several years ago when LeBron James teamed up with, I believe it was Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, right? And they went to play for the Miami Heat. Man, this was such a huge, it was like the newest, best, greatest thing since sliced bread, right? And like these guys were like kings of the world, and everybody was talking. The media absolutely took off with this. And they were called the Big Three of the NBA. And for that year, and even really a couple years after that, it seemed like that's all that everybody could talk about when it came to sports, or especially basketball. The Big Three, that these guys teamed up together to play some game. And it was so amazing. But here's the thing. These guys, these basketball players, they are nothing if compared to the Big Three of the gospel, Peter, James, and John. I mean, these guys should be the ones that's talked about and known to the world more than any basketball player ever should. more than any sports icon, celebrity, whatever it is, ever should. These are the guys we should be talking about all the time. You see, Jesus, he looks at what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29 says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." You see, what you and I might see in the big three of the NBA, that's exactly what God sees when he looks at us. And I love this verse many times, so many times. The way we view ourselves is completely wrong. We allow the world to tell us who we are. We allow the world to tell us why we are what we are. We allow the world to tell us what we feel and why we should feel that. God says, man, that's not true. Don't do that. Don't allow that to be that way. God tells us that he will use the nothings of this world for great, amazing, extraordinary things. This verse here in 1 Corinthians is filled with so much encouragement. I mean, I'm walking down the street, like, why me? What could I ever do to further the kingdom of God? What could I ever do to bring glory to his name? Can't do what that guy's doing. I don't have what they have. I can't speak like that person. Can't dress like that. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it says we are not to feel unworthy. God uses us to do amazing, extraordinary things. This whole idea makes me think of this song, "He Knows My Name." I would venture to say most people have heard it. I would sing it for you, but you don't want to hear that. Sarah would never let me back on stage if I did. But it starts out saying this: "In the mirror, face to face, with somebody less than perfect, I wouldn't choose me first if I was looking for a champion. In fact, I'd understand if you picked everyone before me, but that's just not my story. You saw my heart and made something out of nothing." And then it goes on to say, "We do not need to be famous in the world's eyes because we're famous in God's eyes." And that's that in that scripture that we just read, that's powerful. Think about it. You're walking downtown Delaware and you read about the Bible stories and the characters. And think about if you walk past one of them. You don't recognize them. You don't know what they look like by their face. But you just kind of look at them and you're like, man, I don't know what they're thinking. What are they going to do in this world? How are they going to impact the kingdom of God? Looking like that? No. But here's the thing. They were famous in God's eyes. They didn't care what the world thought about them. They were famous in the one that matters. David, a young boy, the youngest of all of his brothers, defeats a giant. He's made king. He was called a man after God's own heart. David, this young boy who we read about, as he grows, makes many terrible, really bad mistakes in his life. This guy, and he was used by God in an extraordinary way. What about Moses? God chose Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And Moses said back to God in Exodus 4:10, "I am slow of speech and tongue." You see, Moses had a speaking problem. So why in the world would anybody choose this guy that couldn't speak in front of people to lead people? That's just crazy, right? Or Saul, who later became known as the Apostle Paul. Saul was a persecutor of Christians. This guy actually went out and killed Christians. You can't get much worse than that. But now we know him as Paul, who wrote many books in the New Testament. Jonah, who tries to run from God. The tax collectors and the other unfit people that Jesus acquainted himself with each and every single day. Most of these people that God used were not wise according to worldly standards. They were not powerful. They were not the strongest around. But God used each and every single one of them like he will use each and every single one of us if we say yes. You see, just as the Marvel movies that I spoke about earlier, they all have storylines. And these storylines have followed these superheroes throughout their lives and throughout their films. These people of the Bible all have their own storylines as well. And we've read about each one of these people and who they were and why they were used and how they were used to impact the kingdom of God. But the same is, it's the same thing for us. We all have storylines. We all have storylines that we're living out right now. Sure, maybe we're not out fighting crazy villains to save the world, but if you think about it, maybe we actually are. As we go through our lives, our stories are being written each and every single day. The devil is making it his goal to make sure that we stay as far away from God as possible. He puts us ordinary people through really bad situations. A loss of a job, a loss of a loved one, a failed test, financial trouble, you name it. Because his goal is to remind us that we are weak in the world's eyes. His goal is to remind us that we are despised people because of our faith. His goal is to remind us that we're not meeting the worldly standards that the world has set before us. But let us not forget what 1 Corinthians says. It's us, ordinary, common people that God uses to do amazing things. God is still writing our stories. Because there's going to come a time, or there's already come a time in our lives when you're going to meet someone that does not know God. And it's because of your experiences that you're able to share the love of God with someone else. You see, each and every single one of us were made with a purpose. We were created perfectly out of love by God. And it's because of your experiences that you're going to be able to share the love of God with someone else. Each of us are made with a purpose. But we have to be willing to say yes. Just as these fishermen did. These fishermen left everything. They said yes to following Jesus, and their lives were changed forever. Yours can be too. If you say yes to following Jesus, he's going to change your life forever, and he's going to use you for something remarkable that you can never imagine. We just wrapped up our series, Dare to Share. And my challenge for you this week is going to kind of piggyback off of that series. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." You see, we're given instructions on what our storyline is supposed to look like. This verse in Matthew is like the middle of the superhero movie that you're currently watching. You know what's about to happen. There's going to be an explosion, a car accident, a bank robbery. There's going to be something happen. And there's going to be this person or people, and they're in a lot of trouble. And the only way for this person or these people to make it out is for this superhero to appear out of nowhere and save the day. Guys, we already know what the storyline is going to be before it happens. But it's how the story plays out that we get so excited and amped up for. The same goes for you and I. We all know what our storyline is supposed to look like. In the beginning, we come across this power, this amazing power of Jesus that lives inside of us. And we start to win these little battles, and we realize that it's because of God that we're beating these battles. Now we're at a time in our lives where we know God, where we trust God, and it's now time to use those powers for the ultimate victory. Today's a special day, and I think God planned this series out perfectly, as his timing is always perfect. Today's the last Sunday before our Cuba team leaves for their coming mission trip this Wednesday morning. This team is going to continue on in the story that God is currently writing for them. They're heading to another country to show the love of God to people that may not know what that's like. And at the end of our service, in the first service, actually, we got to see that team and we got to pray over that team. But during this service, at the end of second, we're going to get the opportunity to see and pray over another set of people, our seniors. Our seniors that are graduating are starting a new chapter in their lives today. And during our second service at the very end, we're going to bring them up on stage and introduce them and pray over them. And they're starting a new chapter in their lives. And they're going to get to share the gospel with so many people in a new and an amazing way. It will be something brand new in their lives as God prepared them to do. Can I have the worship team please come forward? You see, we're going to get the opportunity each and every single day, not just us or not just the seniors or the Cuba team. But what about us? What are we going to do? We get the opportunity each and every day to go out and make disciples, spread the word of God. And I would venture to say that almost all of us speak to at least one person every single day. Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker, whatever it is, but we all speak to at least one person every day. What would happen if you take that time to talk about Jesus? It doesn't have to be anything extravagant, but give them your 15-second elevator pitch on why you love Jesus and why you choose to follow him each and every single day. You might not see anything happen right now, but that's not the point. The point is that you plant that seed. The point is that they're gonna hear that, and they're going to dwell on that a little bit. And what's the worst that could possibly happen? Jesus says he's with us always. That is our ultimate victory. This is our superhero moment. And that's my challenge to you all this week. Be a superhero in someone's life. Like I said, I don't care if it's your 15-second pitch or if you have an entire conversation about how amazing and how awesome Jesus is, but just say yes and just do it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the amazing opportunity that you give us each and every day to go out and talk to people, meet people, to share your love with people, Lord. I pray that you give us the right words to say at the right time to glorify your name, God. I thank you so much for everything you do and for the love that you have for us. It's in your name I pray. Amen.